Good evening, everybody. So you are welcome to today's service. Tonight we'll be continuing on the theme of the month, and that is building capacity. So I want to start today by going through Genesis 11 briefly. Genesis 11 from verse 1 to verse 6. So I read. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower, whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. They built it. The city they built. The tower they built. And the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them." I often share this passage with my staff in the office once in a while, almost every quarter. Just share it with them, just to emphasize a few points that I identify with here. The first point there is that in any group, any gathering, as long as there are two or more people, really, it's only one person that initiates a change. One person initiates it. One strong voice. Not necessarily the loudest voice, but one with a good point, a strong point. And it doesn't have to be the leader every time. One voice initiates it and says, "Come, let us build ourselves a city. Come, let us make brick." One voice initiates it. And then others say, yes. So I always tell my staff that you try to be that one voice that initiates a change for a positive thing. Because really, if you see a gang of robbers too, they don't just gang up immediately like that. It's somebody that will say, "Come, let's go and do evil." So one voice, be that one voice that will bring about a positive change wherever you find yourself. In this story, also the second point is that there was a purpose, there was a goal, there was an imagination. They wanted to build a city. They wanted to build a tower. It hadn't been done before. So there was an imagination of something that hasn't been in creation, but needs to come into creation. Something that hasn't been done before, but requires some efforts to get it done. Requires some labor to get it done. Requires some sweat to get it done. Number 3 points. They joined hands together. Team spirit. They worked together. And they achieved what they wanted. And the last point I always emphasize here is that they performed some activities, right? All the things that they did to build the place up, there were various activities. And they performed the activities thoroughly. That's the major word, key word, thoroughly. Said they baked bricks thoroughly. Not shoddy job. They didn't do things imperfectly. They had that perfection in mind. And they were able to achieve what they had imagined to do. So God said, there is nothing man can imagine to do that they will not be able to do. Since that is so, then your imagination is your capacity. Your imagination is your capacity. What your mind can contain is your limit. If you think big, then you have a big capacity. If you think small, then you have a small capacity. So you are the one that will determine how far you want to go. What your imagination does for you is that it will be pulling you towards it. If you imagine it, the forces will be pulling you towards achieving that imagination. The thing is, are you really prepared to go through the journey? That is the issue. But far above that is for you to thrive. You want to make it. You want to do well. So you need to strengthen, develop to be able to do well. The second definition says capacity building is the improvement in an individual or organization's facility to produce, perform, or deploy. The bottom line is improvement. You need to improve. You don't need to stay in the same position you've been all along. You need to take steps to move forward. You need to improve. So I want you to take a moment to think about these questions I'll be asking you. Just think about it. Question number one, what are you improving in your life right now? What are you improving? Just think about it yourself and answer it yourself. If you don't have any answer, then you're in big trouble. What are you improving in your life? What are you strengthening? Something is weak, or something is not up to where you want it to be. What are you strengthening? What are you trying hard and hard to achieve? What are you doing to make you produce or to perform, to make things going? What are you doing? When you get home, you can think about it more. And the last question is, what are you doing to make your imagination a reality? I'm sure many of us, if not all of us, have some imagination, some dreams. Yes. So what are you doing? What steps are you taking to make it a reality? Things won't just happen. You have to make things happen. First, we need to learn. If we want to develop, we need to learn. If we want to grow, we need to learn. Proverbs 6, verses 6 to 8 says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Now, for you to observe that an ant does not have a captain, that an ant provides food in summer, that an ant gathers food in the harvest, for you to observe that, you will know that it is not a one-day observation. Not at all. It's a study. It means you have to observe people over a long period of time to learn from them. If you want to learn from somebody, observe the person over a long period of time. I once had a minister. I don't know if it was in this church some years back. Most likely from this church. Some years back. Maybe a decade. But that thing stuck in my mind. And the minister said that that instruction of going to the ant was meant for the sluggard. Think about it. Go to the ant and observe that that instruction was meant for the sluggard. That's what the Bible says there, right? So, it can be implied. Period. However, even if you are not a sluggard, at least you can learn from the counsel given to the sluggard that you can learn from other people by observing them. You learn from other people by observing them. So who are you observing? And what will you do with what you have observed? I remember decades back when I was in my last year in primary school. I was 10 years. I used to have a friend. His name is Adeniran. I can't remember his first name. And two of us didn't have nice handwriting. Up to now, I still am not into that. And there was this other colleague of ours, classmates. His name, I can never forget, Abiy Agbeja. I don't know where he is now. I don't know if anybody ever knows him. Abiy Agbeja was his name. I tried to check him online several times, but I never got him. He had a beautiful writing. Beautiful writing. So Adeniran said, Wale, let's copy Abiy's writing. In fact, anytime I think about that, I think that guy must have been very smart at that age, knowing his incapacity and then wanting to develop. That's unusual. So for me, I don't think I took it seriously. But he took Abiy's notebook and started copying and improving his writing. Like I said, I don't know where he is now. I'm sure he has a good writing if he didn't drop down. But the bottom line is that we observe somebody that could do better. And one of us chose to learn from that person and act upon it. If you are here, for instance, right now, and you want to improve your writing, like I said, it's legible, but it's not fine. But there's one person I observed one day. I just saw the man's notes. I said, wow, you have a nice handwriting, Professor Okumadewa. Wow. And after a while, just watching, you know, doing ministration at times. And for me, you can understand why my writing is not so nice. It's like when somebody is talking and I can catch something there, I want to write it so fast. So that before the person says something else, it wouldn't have gone from my mind. So I write fast. But the man will write, you know, take his time to write. If I was ready to learn writing now, I certainly would go to him. Because I've observed him. I observe how he writes and I appreciate how he writes. And that is life. You need to observe people and learn from them and take actions to develop your capacity. So build your capacity by observing others. Observe your friends. Observe your colleagues. Observe your boss. Observe your competitors. If you are in business, you need to go out, step out of your offices once in a while and go to your competitors' offices and try to find out how they are doing things. If you appreciate anything they are doing, copy it. There's no copyright in that. And you improve upon it and move up to a new level. The bottom line is for you to get better. The other point in learning is hearing. You observe, you hear. Proverbs 1 verse 5 says, a wise man will hear and increase learning. He will hear and increase learning. I want to believe that every Sunday, every Tuesday that we come here, that people minister here, that we hear, obviously we are increasing our learning. It's not reducing our learning. It's an addition, as you hear. Some years back, my wife asked one of our sons, while trying to encourage him, she encouraged him to be writing notes when we come for ministration, when we come for service, to take notes. And guess what the young man said? He said, how many people who write the notes go back to the notes anyway? It makes sense. If I ask you now, if you have to do a census, that all the ones that you write it, when did you last go through? It makes sense. But the thing is, if we can just go through the notes of what we are hearing and hearing and hearing, just now and then, maybe once in a month, just go through the notes, flip through. And we can take actions on some of the things we've written. Our lives will be different. Our lives will change. So let me give you that exercise. Let me challenge you. Maybe by Friday, just take 1 hour. Take the most recent notebook that you are using and flip through. Look at the points that you've written. Because those points must have caught your attention somehow. So do something about it to transform your life. The New Living Translation of that Proverbs 1:5 says, let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. It said, let those with understanding receive guidance. So it's not just to learn, increase learning and learning. There has to be some understanding to guide your steps. There has to be from that learning, some understanding to direct you on what strategies to adopt, what steps to take. That is it. So we need to act on whatever we learn. When I decided to go into my hotel business, I didn't know much about the industry. So the most sensible thing for me to do, which I figured, was to go and learn. Learn about the industry. So one of the learning steps I took was to go to some hotels. I went to a few in Lagos. I went to like 3 or 4 in Abuja. I went to one in Abeokuta. I went to Jebode. I went around Ibadan. This was an exercise over months. And everywhere I went, I would study them. In some of the hotels, I've stayed for like days, built a rapport with the managers, and asked them questions. I was asking questions, questions and questions and questions. And I was writing notes. Of course, you know, like I said, I was just writing everything they were saying, just write it. As I was writing and listening to them, my confidence was being boosted. I was feeling, so this thing is not difficult now. Even though I was doing banking, if I cross overnight to hospitality business, I can still do well. This is not more than this one that you are telling me, this and this. So my confidence was being boosted. I was ready to take a risk. I was ready to put in every reserve that I had to the extent of sacrificing my house. I was ready for it because of all the knowledge that I was receiving, my capacity was just going up and being developed. Later on, when I was about starting the business, the first thing I went through was all my notes. I brought all my notes out, started writing the highlights and things of that. And with the things I learned, I was able to come up with my strategies and policies to run my business. The third area of learning, after observation and hearing, is study. You learn through study. If you want to develop capacity, study in the area of your concern. When I was in the bank, I had many people working with me, many people reporting directly to me. And the best books I figured I could be studying or reading were books on leadership, management, because I had people I needed to lead. Our people are needed to manage so that they are comfortable working there and they are producing the best results. So those were the automatic books for me to read. After Zenith Bank, while I was trying to set up my business, I forgot about all those management. What are you managing when you are the only one? So I forgot about management books and leadership. And I started buying books on entrepreneurship. Starting your business, running a hotel business, owning a bread and breakfast business, how to run a restaurant, how to do kitchen management, excellent customer service. Those were the books I was just buying and reading and reading. I remember a guest or a friend. Yes, that was coming from the UK sometime. And she asked me, what do you want me to get for you? Oh, I said, there's this magazine that I ran into 2 years ago on hospitality management. That's just all I want. Can you imagine somebody asking you for something in UK and you won't send a list? I just said, that magazine on hospitality management. So my study also involved subscribing to a correspondence college in the U.S. on hotel management. And I was on that course for like 4 to 6 months, correspondence, and going online. After a while, even after I started the business, I enrolled for a course in Lagos, a catering course that I would attend twice a week. I'll leave Ibadan twice a week, attend the course, and I did that for like 8 weeks, developing my capacity. In that class, I was the only male, and I was, of course, the oldest by far. But that didn't bother me because I was building my capacity for what I wanted to do, for my imagination. Developing capacity is not a one-year event. It is an ongoing activity. You are taking every opportunity to sharpen your skills and equip yourself. Every opportunity. Sharpen your skills. Equip yourself. What have I learned? How is it benefiting me? How will it help me in reaching my dream? Now, for every one of us here, still under the authority of a superior, my advice is for you to take every assignment you are given seriously. Every assignment. Take it seriously. Because what you learn from your current assignment may be what you will need to accomplish your dream. If you think about Joseph and how he ended up ruling Egypt, it's not an easy job being in charge of a nation. But if you think through it, he was a manager in the house of Potiphar. He was a supervisor in the prison. He had developed capacity. Of course, he didn't have a choice to do those things. He was a slave. But still, he did it. I'm sure he did it with a full heart. He was developing capacity for something greater that was on his way. So let's take every assignment we are given as an opportunity for learning and developing yourselves. Even if the assignment seems to be unpleasant, do it with a positive attitude. In year 2008, when I was assigned to Sierra Leone to start up a bank subsidiary there, when I was given that assignment, I was excited. Oh, yes, going to be an MD somewhere at 5 o'clock or so. I will take me to Sierra Leone. to get to Lungi Airport. From Lungi Airport to Freetown, you first of all drive from the airport to a port, maybe like 15, 20 minutes to a port, and then you go inside the ferry. One big ferry, vehicles will go in and all that to take you across. Got into the ferry, rowdy, everything, no life jackets. That first day, we got there, we got to Freetown, maybe 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, because we didn't get to the ferry station on time. So you have to wait for the ferry to go, big people come. So immediately we got to Freetown, and the car was driving us into town. I looked left, I looked right. It was like driving through Bere. Apologies for those living in Bere. You know, driving through Bere, except that instead of one lane, maybe there are 1.5 lanes. Ah, I said, wow. Honestly speaking, it crossed my mind. I said, let me get back to this Nigeria and go and look for the person that sent me here, so I can cross that person or something. But of course, we went there. I didn't get to the hotel till like almost like 11 p.m. I said, oh my God, this is what I'm going to live through? For how long? Anyway, since I didn't have any alternative job, I took the assignment positively. So I had to start a banking business from scratch. I had to conclude a lease property, the leasing of a property. Somebody had initiated it before I got to Freetown, but it hadn't been concluded. So I discussed with the seller, concluded, made the payments. I evaluated the building, contractors, I selected them, reviewed them with the assistance of my technical person. We chose the one we wanted. I oversaw the remodeling of the building. The architect was with me from Nigeria. But I said, this one I don't want, this one I don't think is proper. This one. So I supervised to extend the remodeling of the building to suit a banking business. I was in charge of purchases. So I made the purchases. I made sure I got follow the procedures. All right, no problems. I had to recruit staff. So I'll go around. First of all, I went around to some banks that I identified with. I just hang around, see somebody that speaks nice or looks nice. I'll drop a card or something. I'll advertise in the media. I'll send the words around. I'll interview all the staff. I'll do an offer letter for them, you know. Copy the format we have in head office, amend it and all that. I'll do competitor analysis to identify what kind of remuneration is in town so I can lure those people to come to join me. I related with regulatory authorities towards getting a banking license. We didn't have a license then. I wrote a business plan, which I hadn't written in 18 years before then. I drew up work program. How am I going to be doing this? This activity, when will it be done? This one must come before this. I drew up a work program. And then I ran the establishment as a CEO for about 2 years. That was a great opportunity for building my capacity. 4 years later, when I was planning my own business, I keep things. So I just brought out all those documents, the work program, the business plan, even the questions that you'll ask people when you want to interview them, the reporting format, the sample offer letter. So I just amended them based on what is peculiar to me, what I want. Amended it, made work easy for me. I customized everything. Because I exposed myself to that capacity development all along. So my brothers and sisters, use every assignment on hand as an opportunity to build capacity for your next assignment. I try to imagine David as a boy killing a bear and a lion. And I try to look at it. The first time a bear appeared to David and his sheep, I might not have been bold enough to go and confront the bear. The easiest thing to do is to let the bear take one sheep and go away and leave me in peace. Maybe he did that. Maybe the bear came again and now he realizes that if the bear came once, took one sheep, he's come again, he will continue to come until my flock is eroded. And he now braced up, faced the challenge, built courage, and decided to face the bear. Face the bear, kill the bear. One day the lion came, "Oh, I've killed the bear before. How much are you different?" Built the courage, challenged the bear, the lion, dealt with it. And the day after, day after, and day after, until he had the courage to defeat the Goliath. The thing is, if you don't take risks or face challenges, you don't know what you are capable of. You never know. Never know your capacity. So take risks. Take risks and face challenges. So live with the attitude that every challenge you face will only make you stronger. So don't dodge all assignments given to you, even if they are not interesting to you. I'll say this especially for our youth. You know, for those of us that are not too young, if you are given an assignment and you don't feel comfortable with it, you can say, you know. But you are a young man, you're a young lady, so many years ahead. Any opportunity, any assignment you are given, first of all, for somebody to give an assignment, that means somebody believed in the capacity in you. So don't just easily give up. Take it and develop a better capacity. You know, I've always been a reserved person. Always been a reserved person as far as I knew myself. I've always been more private than public. More of an introvert than an extrovert. But what? The Lord God made them all, right? God made us all. We're all different. As a student, I wouldn't even speak in class in the university until, I think maybe third year, when the school told us that for you to get an A, you must communicate in the class that class participation is 10%. So even if you did well in all your exams, you got 100% of everything in all your exams and tests, that means you got 100% of 90%, right? That means 90%. At least you probably miss a point now. So you probably be 89. You can't get an A. So that one got me more concerned. I said, okay, there's a motivation now. I have to talk. So I developed a strategy. Before, as soon as the lecturer ask the questions. It's not that I don't have an idea. It's not that I don't know, but I just keep quiet. So I developed that and I got the grace I wanted. Now put that in mind now, this person that we're talking about. Can you ever imagine me saying I want to be teaching? I want to go and teach. Like somebody that is reserved, introvert and all that. NYSC came, 1986, and I chose to serve in a particular place because my father's friend was the director there, and he said, if I got there, I'll get a job after. So when I got to NYSC office in Lagos, they asked me where you wanted. I said, I wanted Kwara State. I said, why? Because there's a job opportunity for me there after service. And I got my posting exactly as I wanted. I got to AMTI, the place called Agricultural and Rural Management Training Institute. Not knowing, you know, I thought, okay, I had my MBA, they'll give me one job, administrative, whatever, whatever. Not knowing that the assignment I was going to be given is to be teaching, training. Oh, the director said, oh, you have an MBA. And he said, no, you should be in the classroom. And wow. I ended up there. So I was assigned to teach accounting, finance, and computer usage for adults. Because there were adults working in different organizations coming in for training. And I would develop training materials. And I would teach them, stand in front of the class from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., except for lunch break and tea break. And for you to do that, talking to adults, sleepless nights, studying, homework, this. So it's, I now realize that studying for exams is different from studying to teach people. And I started anticipating questions. You know, these are adults. So I said, okay, if I say this, they might ask for this. So what is the solution? So I try, anytime I talk, I try to anticipate questions. So I try to address them as I teach them. It was stressful for me then, but the experience helped me and is still helping me. In life, what comes easy hardly develops you. So you need to subject yourself to some difficult tasks to build muscles. You need to get to a sweating level until you start requesting for a break. So I worked in that organization for 3.5 years, developing my capacity, until I thought I got a break, and I moved to a management consulting firm in Lagos, only to face a different level of hard work in itself. But every experience I subjected myself to was just building up my capacity. It's going to move. It's going to change. And he started doing ICANN classes. To cut the story short, he did well in his ICANN classes. Within a few years, got certified. And there was this program in the bank then. Once you can get your ICANN, go for an interview in head office, and get upgraded, get to the main banking line. So that guy did it and got to the main banking line. About 4 or 5 years ago, he was a branch head in one of these Zenith Bank branches in Southwest. About that same period, I went to one of the branches in Zenith Bank to pay him some money. And I was asked to go and pay in the counting room. Not in the same branch that we were then, but on a different branch. I looked around to know if there's anybody that would be there by any chance. That's 20 years ago, 20 years back. I looked around and I actually found one person there. He was a note counter 20 years ago when this other guy was there too. While the other guy took a step to build his capacity, this guy was just there counting money. And I'm sure he must be probably like the age of 45. Such is life. So stretch yourself and grow. Lastly, you know I said earlier on that imagination pulls you and attracts you towards it. It pulls you. That is true. But then I'm sure you know people who had imagination, who had dreams, who had passion, who are working with their passion, but still did not make it. There are. Why, you may ask? Many reasons. We have to look at different people and see what went wrong. But if you look at that Genesis 11, want to see that I read earlier on, you'll appreciate two things at work. One, you need help from others. You need the support of others to make it. And then in verse 3 there, it says, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. Anytime I read this passage, I always like that part. Bake them thoroughly. You need to do things thoroughly. That thoroughness is very important. And your ability to do a thorough job is derived from what you learn through observation, through hearing, through study, and then going through challenges in life that will develop you. God bless you.